Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
Welcome back to another episode of All Bases Covered.
We are taking a little break after this episode.
Wait, we have to like wind back and tell people about what's happening in your life.
No, but everyone knows.
No, they don't.
I sold my house. We've got a 30-day settlement. So
how do you think everyone knows that? We haven't
They don't know my settlement, but they know that, like, everyone knew that the auction was coming up because cute, sweet listeners were like, good luck.
They're so cute.
So, yeah, we've got a 30-day settlement, which means Brendan's away for one of those weeks. So we've got, like,
2 weeks.
Six days. Like, you know, not doing it midweek. So 6 days to pack up the house and be gone. And then I'll be living with my in-laws. So till who knows when. And so we'll be taking a little break, which I think is probably well deserved. It's also, once we realize we hit 200, we're like, oh, screw it. We like deserve a little break.
Yeah.
And then while we're on break, we're going to have a little powwow and a chat about how we do episodes going forward. Don't stress. Everyone's so stressed. It's just going to be
so stressed.
Maybe like potentially fortnightly or potentially weekly, but on like a seasonal thing, whether that aligns with the actual
seasons,
like seasons of the year, or whether we do like blocks of 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I wouldn't be stressed, people. It's fine. We're just going to figure out basically, I think it'll be basically us recording like two episodes at a time as we do it. So like a weekly ep, quote unquote, the weekly ep with the normal structure, and then like a special ep. So like a product trial or an interview or one of the lifestyle eps. We'll try and record them in one sitting. So they split between 2 weeks, or if they're fortnightly episodes, then like a month, you know, I don't know. We'll figure it out. Basically,
we'll figure it out.
Less, it's just, we record every single week. And then that means every single weekend, because we upload on a Monday, we have to edit, which is fine. But we've just been doing that for a really long time. And it actually gets to a point where you're like, oh, when will I not have a weekend where I have to do that? And just that is like a burdening feeling.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like we've got like never-ending uni assignments that are kind of sitting in the back of our brain. And that's not to say that we don't love like all of the support that we get for this podcast, and that we don't find like satisfaction and gratification out of doing it for ourselves as well, because we absolutely do. But I think that at this moment in our, both of our lives collectively, we've gone through maybe, you know, 8 or so weeks, maybe even 12, like up to before your wedding, Lisa, where I think that things have felt a little bit burdeny because we've just had so much going on in our personal lives, and we've been like keeping on top of this as much as we can. But I know that I'm not giving it as much love as I want to be. And I think for that reason, Lisa and I are both such perfectionists, and it feels like we're better to take a break and take a step back and come back into it refreshed and knowing what we want to do and having clear direction, rather than just letting you all feel like we suck and don't love it. When I did the upload on Monday on our stories, being like, lol, for all the people who still listen. And I was like, Alex, you're a fucking bitch. Heaps of people listen. And you don't check the stats ever. And so you think that no one does. That's your fault.
I don't understand numbers. I can't be clear about that.
Yeah. So anyway, we thought it would be fun to finish up with a little ask me anything, just so that we can chit chat.
Yeah, for sure. And should we just get straight into it? There's so many.
You pick your favorite to start with.
I'm going to go in like a relatively chronological order so that we don't like totally lose the place.
Top down or bottom up?
I'm going bottom up.
Okay.
Start with
this. A lot of people submitted like 10.
Yeah. Mads Shuey. Any tips from Lisa on how to do the best eye makeup on round eyes? That depends, I would say, if you want to
accentuate your round eyes
or not. If you don't want to accentuate your roundness, I feel like I've got two main tips. The first would be, if you're doing any sort of eyeliner, to not take it in to like the first half of your eye, because that will give you that visual line of the eye going down and then up and then back down again, like really round. If you start it from the highest point of your eye and then take it out to the corner and then sort of make it thicker at the outer corner, that's going to give you like a straighter appearing eye. And also doing quite a defined under eyeshadow or eyeliner on a round eye really rounds the eye out. So I would avoid that if you don't want to do it. And then I would do the reverse. If you like your round eyes, really use that shape and maybe do like a sort of rounded swoopy wing as opposed to an angular wing if you've got a rounded eye and take it all the way around the eye, top and bottom, if you want to accentuate it.
Yeah, and there's probably other things that you could do as well, like strategically placing like an eyeshadow for highlight. Like if you want your eye to look more round, you could place like a highlight in the center of the like mobile lid.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to detract from the roundness of your eyes, place the highlight on the inner corner. Or similarly, like apply your mascara by fanning your outer corner lashes like out and up.
Or get really good at a corner lash or like chucking three individuals on the
eye. Oh, yeah. A corner lash is your best friend if you don't want to look like you've got round eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good one. Thanks, Mad Shoey.
Top three fragrances / candles.
I just got the Burn, oh my gosh, yuzu and lemongrass and yuzu or something.
Yes.
Candle. I got it in a custom ceramic vase and it's so nice. It's such a nice candle.
I love that. I have it in a sort of pink ceramic vase thing. I adore that. I love that. I'd have to say my Loewe tomato leaf candle is up there. I bloody love it. Sorry.
Yeah. What a dreamy scent. Or if you want to do a cheap, we haven't smelt it, knockoff version of the Loewe one, not that it's a knockoff, the one that Amelia Singson spoke about on our wedding prep ep, which was from Adore Beauty, and it's a tomato scented candle as well.
Yes. And then, I mean, if we're talking actual things I love, I mean, Glossier You, of course, come on. And I do like wood sage and sea salt from Jo Malone.
I don't think I've got any other notable candles at this stage. It's winter. I'd be getting like a dark rum. Okay. McChicken wants to know, filler in your face, have you guys had any? Contemplating getting my smile lines done. Oh, apologies if we've outed you on your filler dreams. How bad. I have not had any filler in my face. To say that I won't.
Yeah. I've had a bit in my lip here and there. I've had like three doses over like 6 years. And I did have filler on one side of my cheek.
Oh, that's right.
To balance it out. So yes, it's probably gone now. And I did have, which is not filler, but is like in the family of filler, Sculptra, which I can advocate for, like a very natural approach. Mm-hmm. Smile lines. They're so tricky, right? Smile lines, because it is something that I think a lot of people think they can get Botox for. And then you go get a consult and they're like, actually, we need to like splint and support the face with filler instead. And
well, then that's what she said, filler.
Yeah, I know. Oh,
sorry.
But like, I think a lot of people think because smile line is a line, they think Botox. But it's not. It is something that needs filler and it actually becomes a lot more expensive than popping like Botox in it because, well, one, that doesn't work. So I guess it would be expensive to have something done that doesn't actually fix it. But filler is just a lot more expensive, like per volume.
It is more expensive. And when you fill places, you often have to like counterfill them to like create that symmetry and balance in the face as well. Like,
yeah,
you know, if you want your jaw to look more defined, you also have to make the tip of your chin pointier kind of vibes.
Things like that. Yes.
Yeah.
I will say I'm pretty sure Kathleen Lights, like she looks like a baby face, but she always complains that her foundation settles in her smile lines. And she said that she got a little bit of filler and it fully changed her life. So I think look around and see people who have had that exact type of filler. I think the good thing about filler is that it does actually last quite a while. It doesn't wear off as quickly as Botox. So yes, it's more expensive, but you can kind of like keep getting little touch-ups and it kind of holds in your face for a little while. So if it's something that really bugs you, I get the thing with smile lines because I feel like it's not huge when you're not wearing makeup, but when you wear makeup and things just bunch up, that is so frustrating because it kind of just looks a bit weird.
Especially because you like leave the house because you don't have to interact with anyone looking crash hot and then you check yourself in a mirror and you're like, fuck, when did that happen? Yeah.
Yes. I have a line in my chin and sometimes at the end of the day I'll just look at it and there's like a lipstick, a tiny crumb and like heaps of foundation in there and I'm like, Jesus, how long has that been complicating?
Yes. Next question. What are your thoughts on the best areas to live in Melbourne?
Oh, I love this.
Gosh, probably not Shittsville South.
Oh, we're both now in a Shittsville South. That's cute.
Yeah, except Shittsville South for me is more upmarket than Shittsville where I was before.
I would say, I mean, it totally depends.
It depends on what you want. Absolutely.
Exactly. Like, I'm not going to say that I'm going to live in Richmond in a 3-bedroom terrace house because I have a dog and I want grass and stuff, but hypothetically thinking, if I'm thinking nice places to live in Melbourne for like culture and cool houses and stuff, Richmond would probably be my like inner suburb pick.
Mm-hmm.
I like the southeast.
Yes, I like southeast as well.
Yeah.
If I didn't have to go anywhere, if I didn't have to drive anywhere or walk anywhere and I had unlimited money, I'd happily live in Albert Park.
Yes, same. But like unless you're posh, don't go there.
I'd also, I really loved living in Ivanhoe. I think cute period homes, if you live near the shops, like that's a nice vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's close to everything. Like it's on the wrong side of the freeway for access. Like it's not Richmond or Kew, but it's like very close in proximity to everything. I liked Ivanhoe.
Yeah. I'd also say if you're not like a city person, I think Mornington is the nicest place where you're by the beach but still in like a central town and can still get into the city.
Yeah.
Frankston South and Mornington, I think, are lovely. If perhaps you might be the kind of person that, I don't know, maybe would live in like
a smaller town, wants a bit of sea, wants a bit of winery vibe.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I could just pick a million places if I was actually just picking nice places to live. I'd live in Red Hill any day of the week if I could.
Yeah, yes, totally. But like you're a bit more isolated there, I feel, than if you're in Mornington where you can like pop down to like some cute shops and things like that. Like if you're moving to Red Hill, you've got to like want to move there because you're going to go to like a little cellar door and you probably have chickens and like.
Yeah, and a great life.
Absolutely a vibe. I don't go west or north, so I can't really help you there. Oh, like also I will say if you want like a suburb vibe, but like something with a bit of coolness to it, I could absolutely live in Eltham or Warrandyte as well. It's just too north compared to my family.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I would agree. Next question. Should we talk about were you happy with the Survivor winner? We actually haven't spoken about this between ourselves yet.
We haven't, and we won't get too carried away because this is polarizing or isolating for listeners. Absolutely.
You were happy?
Yeah, I think
it's funny because from like week two, we were like, fuck, Marianne needs to go home. She's so loud and a bit annoying.
This chick's loony. Like, what is her level of like
enthusiasm joy and for life? Just, yeah.
The enthusiasm for life was too much.
Mm.
But she brought herself back to earth and really got some respect in the tribal where she played her idol because she didn't want to be voted out and blah, blah, blah. And I think her game was really good. And I would have probably preferred Mike to win. However, Mike didn't own his game in the finale.
I agree.
And so he didn't deserve to win. I think that Marianne didn't outplay or like outlast necessarily in terms of challenges. Like she had great social game, but once she stopped being so annoying and
she was good at puzzles in the beginning and a few of the team challenges, she took a puzzle and did all right.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, she didn't win anything.
Mm.
Even bloody Romeo. Oh my God. Romeo coming through and like winning at the end was so funny because he was just such a useless sack of shit the whole game.
I know.
Every time.
I mean, I'd said, I was like, he'll either get carried, like I assumed he'd get carried to the final three anyway. Like he was going to be sitting there at the end, but I didn't think he'd be sitting there at the end on his own merit. That was very surprising.
So yeah, I think I am happy based on her gameplay and how she explained it all at Tribal. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Yep. 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 I agree. I think she did a good job at Tribal, at the final Tribal thing.
For sure.
Any skincare products will continue to buy forever?
That's really hard to say. Sarah Chapman Overnight Facial I have been using for like 9 years almost, I would say. And the same with the Emma Hardy Balm Cleanser. I could find another balm cleanser I like. Like that isn't – that's just I do it because I like it, whatever.
Mm.
But Sarah Chapman, like that, when I use other products, like nothing replaces that. It's different. Yeah. It hits different. What about you?
I probably say – whilst it's not always in my cupboard, Dr. Dennis Gross Ultra Gentle Peel Pads will always be in my life. They're just such a savior in times of need. I think we'll always continue to buy Juno. They're probably like the only things that have stayed really steadfast for me so far.
I need your wedding lipstick recommendations. Your lips were better pinky nude, but a stain vibe.
Ooh, a stain.
Stain's hard. I mean, you could do something like Benetint if you want like a proper stain, or YSL, the beautiful like Vernet Livre or whatever they are. They're glossy stains because it's like one coat's a gloss, two coats is like a lipstick, and three is a stain. They have a beautiful formula.
What about those little juicy shakers from Lancôme? Do they still exist? They're
discontinued.
They had such a nice cake taste.
Yeah. Stain. I mean, I do that many wedding lipsticks, and to be honest, I've never put a stain on a bride. Normally, I just stain the lip with a lip pencil all over and then do something either like matte or balmy over the top. Or you could do one of the Gucci liquid lipsticks.
Yeah, I think they've just, they're a bit, they're not really your lips, but better. They're like, I'm going to mask your whole lip.
Yeah.
Also, they don't stain at all. They're the opposite of a stain. They completely come off, which is, I find, very unusual for a liquid lip. For
lipstick.
Yeah.
Stains, I really do feel like stains are still not very prominent in the, particularly in the luxury market. Like, you can find quite a few stains in the like scary Revlon world where they have that lacquer that you put over the top and they last all day.
Yeah.
But I get what you mean in terms of a sheerness stain.
They also just don't really work for nudes. Like, it's...
Yeah. Because it basically has to be a strong pigment diluted.
Yeah.
Which is harder to do.
Yeah. How much did your wedding cost, Lisa?
Oh, that's a bad question. One, because talking about money is tacky, and two, because I'm really bad with numbers and finance.
She's got no clue.
So I actually don't know. Sorry. And also... Like, to own my privilege, my parents contributed quite a bit to my wedding, and Brenton's parents also paid for the catering. So not only do I not know that much because, one, I paid for stuff blindly, two, my parents kind of paid for some stuff blindly, and three, so did Brenton's parents. If that question comes from, like, less of a nosy place and more of a I'm planning a wedding, I can let you know some of the, like, the costs. Like, I think... I honestly don't know how much I paid for the venue because I booked that in like 2019. I can't remember. And it's a totally different price now. It's apparently like doubled in price. So woo, go me. Photographer was a big expense. I'm pretty sure I paid just under $6,000 for the photographer. No regrets. Would have paid more even if it bankrupted me. The dresses were a big expense. I think one of my dresses was about $4,000 and the other one was about $4,500. Then add on alterations. So that was a big cost. Yeah. There you go.
Lovely. Yay or nay to a Dyson Airwrap? Can't comment. Don't have one.
I think if you have hair that holds a style relatively well, if you've got any bleach or like pretty sturdy hair, and if you've got hair that takes a while to style, like if you have to dry it and then curl it or whatever, yay. Mm. If you've got hair that doesn't hold very well, it's not going to hold well even with an Airwrap, like particularly with an Airwrap. It's probably going to hold better with like a curling.
Wait, you didn't buy the Airwrap, did you?
Yeah, I did. I got my mum bought it for me for my birthday.
And what happened? Have you used it much?
Yeah, I really like it, but it drops. So I'm trying to figure out a way to make it last a little bit better. But
lots of YouTubers I've seen pin the curl after they curl it. I do that. So much. Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do that with everything. I do that. But my hair also doesn't last with the GHD Rise. So it's like my hair doesn't last. That's not necessarily an Airwrap thing. But I have seen all over TikTok that like, the Airwrap is not the best for longevity because obviously it's not like singeing your hair off in the same way that like a straightener or a curling wand does. Like my hair needs a lot of heat. So the pinning helps a little bit. I'm trying to work out what products work, et cetera, et cetera. I think if you don't have the money and you're really stretching yourself for the Airwrap, don't do it. If you want to treat yourself with something, do it.
Yeah, for the person who said I've got $1,000 to spend, what should I splurge on? Maybe a Dyson Airwrap.
That's great. Someone's asked best eats in the suburbs, Croydon and surrounds. I'm sorry, I can't answer that because I know I don't live that far from there, but I don't go there. So Guzmany Gomez in Croydon.
I can't see this one at all, but my favourite places to eat, I mean, it depends on the time of the day, and this is niche content, so I won't take long. I really like Imoon in Lilydale, who do Thai, good Thai food. Who else do I like? Honestly, like, there's not that much good food. Holy Basil, which is another really nice Thai place, which does good vegan Thai as well, if you're into that, is in opposite Guzmany Gomez.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't really eat out that much in my area. If you want to get good brunch, there's like 800 places in Lilydale. Which I would rate highly and recommend even people from like Richmond to go to. I think that they do awesome brunch out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go like to the Yarra Valley, Melito's is one of my favorites. They do excellent food. And I would be going to St. Hubert's as my next like nice eat out place, which is also in the Yarra Valley. It's just opened up. Looks great.
Yes, I've seen that actually everywhere.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
Someone asked, how did the auction go? It went okay. Thank you. We didn't get what we hoped for, but we did sell and we're on track to buy something else. And I think we can be grateful for that. So
yeah.
Someone asked, is the dream plans still to quit your day jobs and make this podcast full time? I don't know if that was ever actually the plan, to be perfectly honest. I love my makeup job too much to actually not do that. So
yes,
I would always be doing something else. And I also feel like the plan was probably to do this and keep work on the side, like really low key. That would be awesome. But sorry to say it, but that's quite literally never going to happen unless someone like discovers us tomorrow and we blow up.
I'd love to make enough money from the podcast that I could go on maternity leave and get paid the minimum wage that the government would pay me. But we couldn't be further away from minimum wage if we tried.
Yeah. We are the bare minimum. I mean, yes, that would be bloody amazing, wouldn't it? But I don't think it was actually ever a goal because it was too far out of our reach. So
yeah, we're not trying to become the next Shameless Media company and do our own thing.
No. And I do think, like, I also think if we wished that, like, to actually be that big, I'd probably start to have a meltdown because I imagine, like, going out and just, like, being in a grumpy mood or whatever and just, like, knowing that people might see you and know who you are. Like, there's that.
Oh, completely. I forget all the time how much of my life I've shared on this podcast and the fact that I meet people who are like, I know so much about you. And I'm like, oh, fuck, what have I said? Yeah, it still gives me nightmares sometimes.
Absolutely, it does.
Ooh, would love to hear you guys chat about politics and your take on big issues in current affairs. Oh, that's for future pod content. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Way to drop a bomb on us.
We're not political people.
Go listen to Cheek Media Co. If you want to listen to people with excellent opinions, in my opinion, talk about politics in a very well-educated way. They literally do it for a living. The girls there are incredible.
Yeah, that's so true. And also people have been asking for podcast recommendations. So there you go. Plans for Bubs in the Bub or Bubs in the future. What would parenting look like for you? Sharing primary carer role?
I once upon a time hypothesized that Adrian and I would split primary carer role for the first year of baby's life. I would like to do the first 6 months and then have Adrian be primary carer for the second 6 months. However, that is dependent on income and we have a giant mortgage, so that might be a pipe dream. But I ideally, like, Adrian would love to be a stay-at-home dad and I would more than happily let him do that if I could just fill his shoes with his job and continue in it, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you?
So plans for kids. I'm at that weird stage of my life where I'm like, I'm going to buy a house for our kids.
Yes.
And like, let's buy in a good school zone because we'll have kids.
Yes.
But like, I don't want a kid.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that in my life I want kids, but having a kid right now is the worst possible thing that you could ever tell me.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you think your plans would be for, like, parenting arrangements?
Brenton, again, would love to be a stay-at-home dad, but I am not the kind of person that is, like, so in love with my job that I can't leave it. I also earn significantly less than Brenton, so it would be stupid for us to do it that way. Also, I'm kind of bred to be a freaking housewife. I love being at home, and I would nail it if I don't hate the kid and have a, like, crisis that I've lost my identity. So we discuss, because Brenton will sort of be in a position where he'll be somewhat of a head up in the company situation. Mm. We discuss that hopefully by that time he'll work slightly longer days and have either every second or every Friday off.
Oh,
so that we get, like, a bit of overlap. And then also, given the fact that I will probably work most or some Saturdays and or Sundays and some Fridays, to give us some time together as a weekend, as well as sharing the load and whatever. Don't know, makes me sick just thinking about it.
That sounds lovely.
So, yeah, we'll see. Thoughts on pressure to have children? I think it sucks. I think
my ovaries are fucking pressuring me.
I don't really like that it's like the expectation, and that feels like so outdated. But then I also think, like, genuinely, I'd be happy cruising along for quite some time. But I think there's not only the expectation from other people, but there's expectation from your partner. Like, Brenton wants to be a dad. And that's almost like a deal breaker. Like, if I didn't want to have kids, I wouldn't really be the kind of person that Brenton would choose to be with forever.
Oh, absolutely. Same as Adrian.
So it's like, I could probably maybe, I don't know, later down I might get really clucky, but I could potentially be the kind of person that might not have kids or choose to have kids. I could still be the person that isn't able to have kids. But yeah, I do think it's stressful to have that pressure from people, particularly when you just don't fucking know what can go wrong. And we both have that thing at the moment now. We're like, maybe next year, should we both go get a blood test the start of the year when we're, like, we've both hit 30?
Yeah.
Get a blood test, see if things look right. Not that that shows you everything that's going to go wrong, but I think – I know a lot of women experience this, but Brenton also has a fear of, like, what if I can't have kids? So
yeah, that's interesting. I don't feel pressure from external pressure other than from Adrian, obviously. Not that he's like,
no, same,
pressuring me all the time. You know, he goes through phases of being like, I want to have kids right now, and then goes through phases of, I can't think of anything more inconvenient in our life than having a child right now, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we're both still at the point where we're not 100% ready. But I do feel the pressure from my body and the fact that, you know, I feel the pressure in the way that I'm like, I'd love to bring, you know, a grandchild into the world for my parents when they can enjoy that child. And yeah, so I think there's a little bit.
From your body? My body's like, couldn't be rejecting pregnancy more.
No, my body is in like, I know that, you know, statistically once we hit 30, things start to go downhill.
Yeah, like, the eggs are scrambling.
Yeah, so I do feel that pressure, and I think that's unfair.
Yeah, I mean, if this helps anyone, my dad was 50 when I was zero, and my mum was 40. No, she must have been 38. So,
yeah, but your parents
turned out fine.
You turned out great, but your parents also had already started fertility. Like, they'd already had children before you. Like, I think if you start that late in life, you're at a much lower risk of having children than if you have them before that.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of people are like, I don't want to be an old dad. And it's like, well, you won't be, because you'll have kids and they keep you young. And that's quite literally how things work.
Yeah.
That's how aging works.
Yeah. Advice we would give to someone in their early 20s. Don't be a dickhead.
Yes. Yes. I think, but.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, do be a dickhead. Like, I think when you're in your early 20s, you think that you're not that young anymore. But you really,
jokes
really,
on you.
You really, really are. And I would say that there is quite literally very few things that you could do in your life that are going to fuck up your future. So, like, do whatever you want. Like, don't travel, do whatever. Don't stress about, like, picking whatever job you're going to do or course or whatever, because it just absolutely doesn't matter. Like, you can fully change your life in so many ways in the future. I would just aim on getting life experience. And I feel like the one thing I would say is, fuck about and travel and do whatever you want and have 100 boyfriends and whatever and drink till you die. But have a good work ethic. Like, plant some seeds for some things. Like, if there's something that you know you want to do, like, get involved in that thing, or, like, just keep your regular, like, part-time job and be good at it. I think just start establishing some good patterns so that you will get to, like, 28 and not be, like, useless at your job, whether it's a job that you want to do forever or whether you're working at Coles, but you're just really good and reliable at Coles.
Like, I think that's such good advice. I think be reliable, be committed, be respectful. Understand that whilst you think that you know a lot at this stage in your life,
you don't know anything.
Yeah, it's like one. It's like a weird thing that happens in your head. I reflect on in your early 20s. You just have this like inflated sense of self where you're like, wow, is everyone around me really dumb or am I just a genius? And it's like, no, you're just naive is the answer to that question. I think give yourself as many opportunities as you can in your early 20s. Like do the hard yards of going and interning at places for free. It looks great on your resume. It gives you opportunity to try out different roles. Like interning opens doors for careers. And if you expect to get a job in your mid to late 20s as your first job and you haven't tried anything before that, you're kidding yourself. Like,
yeah. Or at least you need to have made friends in good places and connecting. You got to have something going for you. Be passionate about something, even if it's just one thing, and be good at that and just fuck about for the rest of the time because it really doesn't matter.
Adrian and I both took out a personal loan to go and fuck off to Europe when we were in our early 20s, and I have no regrets.
Oh, wow.
Had no money. Made it happen. Thanks, Commonwealth Bank.
And that's where you met.
Yeah, it's where we met. So there you go. Number one tips for buying / finding the perfect house. How did you know yours was the one?
Trigger warning. mine wasn't the one. I built my home and, I mean, it's lovely. I love it. But we never intended to be here for too long. I actually bought my land off my sister. We subdivided her block and built. And it's the same suburb that I was born in. I was born in Renner Road, One Turner South. I then moved as a child in One Turner South. And I then moved to One Turner South yet again. And Brenton was born in One Turner, moved around about three streets in One Turner, and then moved to One Turner South. So it was our life mission to get out of One Turner South.
And here you are.
Not because it's that much of a shithole, kind of is, but because we've lived here our entire lives and that is so lame. So it wasn't the one, but it was a very convenient and wise financial decision.
It was definitely a good financial decision,
Not many people get an opportunity to build a home that young. It was incredible. I'm so glad. And it's really put us off on a good stead. So I'm forever thankful for that. I don't know how I find the right one because in my gut I found the right one and I'm probably going to miss out on it in 2 weeks' time. So you tell me. Alex, you go ahead.
The one doesn't exist.
Well, I was just on the phone with a financial advisor and he said, there's plenty more. There is always more.
That's it. Yeah. I missed out both times buying houses, Adrian, and I missed out on so many houses that we thought were the one that we were committed to in our brains as the one. The house that we bought, which was our first house, was by no means the one. It was the one in that it was the right price and we won the private sale because no one else was bidding on it because they made stupid mistakes as the sellers. That's what makes a house the one. I don't
that you can afford it.
I don't that's it. I don't believe that an emotional connection makes anything happen in this game of infinite amounts of people with infinite amounts more money than you have. I'm really sorry to be a dickhead about it, but it's true.
I would say though that like pick your compromise. Like for me, I'd love to live closer to the city and closer to good food and stuff. But I've well and truly come to the fact that my priorities are being closer to family for my dogs and future children. Also, with living slightly further out comes larger blocks and we need, you know, a yard that you can throw a ball in. Just think there has to be like one thing that you like about the house.
I agree. And my other recommendation is, as much as it breaks your heart, so everyone like looks at a budget range on realestate.com and they go, great, well, the house is going to go for X amount over that range. I just don't think that you can ever know. And this house that we bought, like, I don't know how to explain this, but in the houses in the price range that we were looking at and lower the price than the price range we were looking at were getting inflated so high that they were going for almost as much as this house that we bought, which didn't go that far over the bracket. And my advice is talk to real estate agents, make yourself known. Like my real estate agent who we purchased this house from was like, you ask a lot of questions. And I was like, yeah, because I know what I want and I know how to do this. So don't ignore me. And she's like, have you been burnt before? I was like, yeah, I have. So don't fuck me around.
Yeah, definitely get to know the
agents. You don't buy a house being a wallflower unless you've got a lot of money, I think.
Very true. This was a fun question. Cool places to find wedding dresses.
Oh, cool places.
Cool. Cool is tricky. Like, what's cool?
Cool is arbitrary. What kind of cool is cool for you?
Alkaline Bride is what I would think is cool. They have, like, you know, they're still wedding dresses, but they're non-traditional. Mm. My second dress was Priya James, and I feel like she's a little bit the same. Like, still a wedding dress, you know? It looks like a wedding dress. You buy it from, like, a trunk show vibes, but, you know, a little different to normal. Mm. I would start following the Anti-Bride on Instagram because they have lots of, like, non-traditional, quote-unquote, cool things, and then you can stalk the designers that you like.
Also, this message came from Fitzoy, who just got engaged less than a week ago. So congratulations, Fitzoy, long-time listener of the pod.
Sophia San Brandisco, what's a good treat to buy yourself around $1,000?
Oh.
So fun. I wrote some random things down.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, thinking about what would I treat myself to. So the Marnie sandals, which you can get on Inku.
I love them.
Classic. Although I will say there is a lot of knockoffs of them now. Mm. Yeah. I'd buy an acne scarf, which is not $1,000, but maybe I'd buy an acne scarf because it was cold today and I felt like that was appropriate. And then, like, maybe a Sarah and Sebastian item for myself. Mm. I feel like jewelry is really lovely. Like, I love Holly Ryan jewelry and Louise Jean jewelry, but it's quite expensive. So that's, like, a real treat yourself. Do you know what else is great? New bedding. New bedding. Oh, does it ever cost, like, under $1,000? If you've got a king bed, that's like a doona and a sheet, honestly. But, oh, changes the whole room.
So, and it makes you feel great. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I also really want the Jacquemus, the beige mules.
Mm.
They're like $990 or something, and they're bloody gorgeous. So I'd buy them randomly, even though I'd never wear them. Also, the By Far Amber tote bag is around that price, and I've just it's a cute bag, so I would also buy that. And I'd look at some art. Art is a real treat yourself moment.
I was going to say art. All I can think of is homewares at the moment, so I'd probably buy myself art or a funky like lamp, like a floor lamp or something. That's like I don't know. It depends what you need to spend your money on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Something fun. Dyson Airwrap, like we said before. What else? A Spectralite could be a fun way to spend half of that.
Mm-hmm.
What about a Louis Vuitton candle?
Hell yes. Oh my God, yes.
Mm. It's hard when you've got the money and you're like, I want to spend this on something awesome. And then you're like, what the hell do I spend it on?
Yeah. So tricky.
If you ran Mecca, what would you change?
Oh, that's a good question. Firstly, I wouldn't run Mecca because I would hate to be a boss. I'm not business-minded and that would be working too much.
Mm.
If I did run Mecca, what would I change? Oh, my God, this is probably going to be controversial. It's really hard because the beauty industry by nature is going to attract women and also the like type of work that's in is going to attract like, you know, university educated, middle to upper class, white women. And I just think that that's a bit like, and this is the same for a lot of like woman dominated workplaces and beauty spaces is that I often find that the men get further and there's men that are not as good as women in that position because they're the token man. Mm. Like you'll often see like there's all these men in these Mecca campaigns, which is great. Like, yes, they need to be there for visibility and diversity and stuff, but a lot of them are getting opportunities and it's like, well, there's actually like 12 men in the company, but like all of them are getting those good opportunities and like all of the women aren't. But, yeah, I would get a bit more diversity in there. And also the culture of, like, the grind culture, which, again, comes with that, like, type A personality that wants to work there. But, like, that shit just gives me the absolute ick. And it's in every workplace, but I burn it to the ground.
That's it. I'm sorry. Culture comes from the top always.
Yeah.
And regardless of if you're a type A personality, you can still be a type A personality with emotional, like, intelligence who understands that, A, you can clock off at a certain hour of the day and, B, that other people should be allowed to do that as well. Mm. Like, I don't know. What would I change? Gosh, I'm not really sure. I think that Mecca's a pretty big force in the Australian beauty space, and I think that there's probably more that they could be doing, you know, on in an ongoing capacity. Like, I know that they've got like the NGV thing, and they've got like the Hunger Project thing, and they've got like other areas that they support charitably, but I think that they could be doing more things from a diversity standpoint.
Yeah, but I think that they could be doing that kind of stuff, like supporting Indigenous women and supporting underprivileged women and all of the stuff that they do through their charities. But why aren't they, like, they could be doing that through the people that they employ. So, like, they have a graduate program, but why don't they have, like, a separate graduate program that's specifically for people that meet, like, you know, at-risk or, like, vulnerable groups that are missing out on roles?
Okay.
Most embarrassing moment. I was thinking about this, and the weirdest thing came to my mind.
Most embarrassing moment? Is that a question? Like, whatever in my whole entire life? I don't want to think about it.
I know. Mine, it can't be my most embarrassing moment.
Tell us an embarrassing moment then. I'm interested. It might spark something for me.
It's just a weird one that just, like, comes to my mind that, like, I know I wanted to die at the time. I remember a girl coming to pick up a pair of Converse from my school who was, like, my friend, but she was, like, pretty cool. Like, she, you know, had older sisters, and she was, like, definitely cooler than me. She was borrowing a pair of Converse for, like, a dance concert or something. And I ran down the hallway to answer the door with the Connies in my hand to run them to her. And I slipped. You know, at my parents' house, you turn the corner before you walk to the front door. And I slipped and I fucking smashed. Like, I fell, like, front forwards, like, right in front of the door where she was on the tiles, like, fully ate shit. And I hadn't thought about it forever, but it must have killed me at that time, because when I thought in most embarrassing moment, that, like, flooded back to me. And I was like, Jesus Christ, what about the time I stacked it? And it was, like, early days, year seven, and just stacked it. That was not good. That was not good. Also, probably not that embarrassing, because I do laugh about it now, but in primary school, I was walking along the parallel bars and I fell and I broke my hymen. As a child.
How did you know?
So I had to, like, get them to call mum, because I was like, oh, like, my arm really hurts. My arm did hurt because I, like, landed vagina first, swiveled around the pole and then landed on my arm. But I came home and there was, like, blood in my undies and I had, like, a bruised vulva, the poor doll. And, like, me and my sisters still laugh about it. Like, remember the time that Lisa smashed her vagina on a pole?
Ruby did that once. Not that it's my embarrassing moment, but I don't know why she was doing it, but we had, like, a outside staircase at school and there was, like, a metal rail, and for some reason she was, like, walking up the stairs, like, on either side of the metal rail.
Holy shit.
Fucking wedged herself on a metal pole.
Oh my God, it's not, that's, like, one of my earliest memories.
I think my most embarrassing moment is my whole teenage years. Oh, I can't think of something in particular. I think I am often an embarrassment.
Interesting.
It's like part and parcel with being, like, an extrovert, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. My most embarrassing moment is every single time that I'm drunk, from the start of when I get tipsy to the end of when I'm drunk.
Same. That's why I get anxiety so badly.
Absolutely. This is good. What's your most disgusting habits?
I asked Adrian that because I was like, what's my most disgusting habit? I think definitely I'm so gross. I've got one. I like to pick off my mascara and put it in my mouth.
Me. All right, mine's pretty gross too. I can go one up on you.
Adrian said it was leaving my dirty undies face up in the bathroom. I said, well, Lisa's is the same, so we'll have to snap on that.
Oh, so sorry for having some element of discharge. Good God. Mine is So I think I've talked about this before that I don't get mouth cold sores, but I get nose like cold sores, and like I often have a nose scab, and like I love waking up in the morning when it's like raw and like picking the scab in my nose because it feels like a, and it like hurts and it like comes off and it'll bleed and then it'll heal, and then the next day you wake up in the morning and you're like, how's my nose scab going? And you pick it. But Brenton also has the same like strange addiction, and it hurts so bad you get like endorphins because you're like peeling it off the wall of your nose. It's not like a booger. No. It's like a proper scab, so it kind of hurts.
Yeah.
So I would say my nose scab thing. Are Brenton and Adrian friends? What are their jobs?
Adrian and Brenton aren't friends. Like, they're friendly.
Yeah, they get along. But we don't, like, force them to hang out together.
Yeah, Adrian said, he was like, I reckon if, like, Brenton and I, like, branched outside of our own friendship bubbles, like, he's like, I reckon we could be friends. He's like, I think we have similar interests, like, we could be friends. And I was like, okay, do you? I'll see what Brenton says about that.
Yeah.
What do they do for jobs? Adrian's job is that he is, oh gosh, you know hospitals, right? They have,
I've heard of them.
He builds ICT workflows for, so when you go into a hospital and you get treated in the emergency department by a doctor, there's a series of steps that they'll run through to assess your wellness. They'll check your heart. Anyway, and based on what they find, then there might be a flow that is like a procedure that might be attached to that or like whatever. Adrian's job is that he turns doctors and nurses and specialist processes into medical steps in a system that's smart and tells them what to do so that people don't fuck up their jobs and so that we have medical records digitally in Australian hospitals.
That's so nice.
Yeah. So that's Adrian's job. It's really difficult to explain. He's a solutions architect / product owner in a hospital if you're in the ICT space.
I worked in hospitals and I was still handwriting notes. Like,
correct. That's
4 years ago.
Yes, that's Australian hospitals for you, but he is changing that.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Brenton, he's not a food scientist, but that's how I describe it. He works for my dad. My dad is actually a food scientist and microbiologist. Brenton is an innovation manager, which means he does like the product development for like dry blends. So they make Big M. Sometimes they make like the squiggle cake at Woolworths, and he will like come up with the flavor profiles for like milks and stuff. It's a very weird niche job.
It's a very niche job, but a very cool job at that.
Someone asked lymphatic drainage, yay or pfft. Yay, because if you have any issues with your lymph, the only thing you can do about it is lymphatic drainage. It is like clinically researched and it works and it is recommended by doctors for people suffering from all sorts of conditions, whether it be cancer, whether it be lymphedema, like inflammatory diseases, whatever. It is a very superficial system, which means that manually draining it is like a very easy option. You got to find like the right clinician. They're like not super easy to find, and you've got to do things to like help it work. So you can go and get manual lymphatic drainage, but you can also do the work by dry body brushing yourself, which I don't do and I hate and it sucks. So yeah, there's many things that you need to do to help it work as well. Chug heaps of water, do all the right things. But absolutely, if you've got issues with lymphatic drainage, do it. If you're doing it because like you've seen someone else do it and like they looked like they were like slimmer and sculpted or something, don't do it, because like you probably won't be if you're not retaining
fluid. That's it. Yeah, it's useful for the people who need it, and it's for the people who probably don't.
Yeah.
But a nice massage maybe if you like to be touched.
Yeah, but it's pretty light. Like some of them, like my original lady did it with baby powder and it was basically stroking, which was like not on. Most overhyped beauty brands or products. Fenty.
Yeah.
Oops.
Rare Beauty.
Yeah.
We didn't like that blush at all. Not that I think it's overhyped. Morphe. Overhyped.
Overhyped, that's for sure. A lot of celebrity brands, I would say, overhyped. What about products? Like things that, what are things that people really love that I don't like? Oh, everyone, do you know what? Everyone used to love the Born This Way Foundation. It's been discontinued now, but I really didn't like that. Nashi Glow is probably overhyped.
You know what I think is overhyped and I don't like? The La Mer Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Gemma Watts. How do you she wear that? It. No. It's so matte.
One product you would bring back from being discontinued?
Oh.
YSL Burgundy Mascara, potentially.
Mm. I would bring back NARS Liquid Laguna Bronzer.
Oh.
Really like that.
And also she asked.
Oh, an original NARS Pro Prime. What the fuck?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I guess we've kind of found something to fill that void now.
Oh, I find that my eyelids are getting oilier and all of a sudden it's not working as well for me anymore. Disaster. Yeah.
If you could change up one thing about each other's makeup style, what would you change?
Wear more makeup.
Yeah. And you know what? I would have said like maybe wear sheer coverage, but you do now anyway. Wear more blush.
Yeah. Okay. Accepted.
Really?
It's because I feel like I get a lot of congestion on the top of my cheekbones and I feel like then I'm always applying blush to like a crusty dry patch.
Yeah.
And it just makes it crustier and drier and like adds a little bit of luminosity where I don't want it. And I'm like, eh.
Yeah. Rather honestly, not. There's not like really anything that I would nitpick about your face, really.
And thank goodness, same for you. I don't know if I could have spent 200 episodes staring you in the face if I hated the way you looked.
I would have, like old Alex, I used to actively think, I wish she would make her eyebrows not so dark. This was like 2014.
I used to wear my eyebrows so dark.
Actually, and you know what? You also used to wear like a really gray, you used to wear like Max Stone.
On my lips.
Yeah, which I can now tell you did not really suit you very well.
Yeah, I know. I look back on that. It's because Samantha did it and I just wanted to be one of the like, you know, bad gals on YouTube. And I was so far from that.
And I think someone should have told me that like, I know that you think wearing a burgundy smoky eye makes your eyes look hazel, but actually, it's just a lot of makeup for your little head.
Oh.
Maybe rein it in. Like, I hate looking at photos of me when I was working at Mecca and I was like, you know, I'm going to do aspirational looks every day. And it was just like.
I hate that time of makeup. But you know what? It was a beautiful, simpler time when. When we could all try our best and we thought that we were great.
Yeah.
And also.
Try new things.
Also, the lights at Mecca did us no favors. And so you had to wear so much makeup to not look like you were deceased on the floor.
But then you still looked bad.
Yeah, I know. Ugh. It's like when you're out clubbing and they turn the lights on and you're like, not only do I look drunk, but I've been wearing this face for so long. I've spilled. So much alcohol on my cheeks.
Yeah. What is this blood on me? Let's go home. Yeah. No, I think you have an excellent face.
Oh, so do you.
Thanks. Should we wrap it up there?
Wait, one last question. How long did you date Brenton before you moved in with him?
Oh, that's a great question. So, sorry. Let's do the math. So we started dating in, I want to say, 2014, 2013 maybe.
Mm.
Oh, fuck, I can't do this math. This is so hard. How long have we been together? 9 years. And how long have we been here? 4 years. And we would have lived together. I reckon we dated for like 3 to 4 years.
Mm.
And then his house got demolished while they were building. And so he moved in with me, but with my family.
Mm.
But we lived together. Like, I mean, that's the hardest way to do it, right? With your whole damn family.
Yeah.
And then I moved in with his family as soon as his house was built. We moved from mine to his pretty much. And then we moved into our house alone 4 years ago.
So, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, it must have been about 3 years, two and a half, maybe 3 years, because we did about almost a year at each parent's house before 4 years here. Would you say that you moved in together when it was Ivanhoe? Because it's tricky when one lives out of home and one's staying there because it's like.
Yeah.
You weren't Adrian moved in, yeah. Were you?
Adrian was living out of home when we started dating with his brother and his brother's girlfriend. And so I wouldn't classify that as living with him because I still was living at my parents' house.
Yeah.
We started officially living – so we started dating 2012 and we we moved out together in October of 2015. So it would have been around 3 years as well.
Yeah. We have, like me and Alex have quite a similar relationship, like time frame and development, really. She's like about 6 months ahead of me and Brenton.
So weird, because you and Brenton have known each other for so long that I think that you've been dating since you were 16.
Yes. It's just been smooching on and off since we were like 14.
Adorable. It was so cute.
Okay.
Let's wrap that up. That was a beautiful way to end.
We'll be back in your ears. Hopefully not too long. Hopefully I've got some sort of home.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law doesn't hate me.
Yeah.
Because I haven't broken the air fryer in the oven and left a stain on the bench or whatever else I will have done. And, yeah, we will keep you posted. We won't keep you hanging too long, but we just need to figure out, like, the schedule. And please do slide into our DMs in terms of suggestions of, like, how do you want – do you want things blocked? Do you want things in seasons? How many, like, episodes at a time would make you feel okay to then have, like, a break?
Yeah. I think one of the biggest questions is, like, how important is the regular structure to you? How important is beauty news? How important are, like, obviously product trials? Is there a certain content rhythm that you would prefer to expect to hear from us? Or are you happy for things to be a bit more ad-lib? Like, or are you just happy for us to chat? Like, we need to know because we need direction.
We'll try to be more active on Instagram stuff because we haven't been.
Yeah.
Because we've been trying to cut something out. So...
And also move houses and buy houses and live our lives. Yeah. Yep.
Anyway. All right. We'll see you soon.
Oh, I feel like we're breaking up.
We're not breaking up. I'll see you like next week. Okay.
For sure. All right. Bye. Okay. Goodbye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.